Well, anyways, this girl that I was talking about, she writes once in a while on my emails, and she wrote something. Can we really trust God? Can we really trust God? She said, when I was diagnosed, by the way, she's a quadriplegic now, but she says, when I was diagnosed with post-polio syndrome, the doctor said that my body would continue to weaken and perhaps leave me a quadriplegic. This is when she was in her 30s. That meant a life of complete dependence on others. And when my husband left me several years later, I would wake up terrified in the middle of the night. Could I fully trust God with all I needed? The nights were long and lonely, and long and lingering ripples of pain were wearing me down. I poured out my questions and pain to God night after night, admitting I felt he'd let me down. That I wanted more than he was providing, that I longed for certainty more than I longed for his presence. God met me through this honest wrestling. I realized though the future felt uncertain to me, it was fully known to him. Instead of feeling deserted, I felt God's presence more intensely. I noticed signs of his love that I've once overlooked. He was loving me when I asked for peace, and it flooded over me. He was loving me when I felt depressed and a friend called unexpectedly. He was loving me when I opened the Bible and it came alive to me. God was showing me his extravagant love in the countless ways I just needed to pay attention. And then she says here, seeing my suffering differently, Moses spoke to God face to face in the wilderness, and those conversations literally transformed him. His face was radiant, so radiant that he wore a veil afterward. Everyone knew he'd been talking to God, Exodus 34. We too are radiant when we look to God in our struggles, and we are transformed as well. This is the stunning outcome of living in the wilderness with God. We know him better, we may see and savor him more deeply, and ultimately we are transformed into his image. If you're discouraged, desperate to escape the wilderness, know that many saints before you have felt that way too. Confess your disappointments to God as you wrestle with him in prayer. Pay attention to signs of God's love and keep talking to him. Trust that he is doing a deep work in your life and ask him to show you his presence and provision. And when you do, perhaps your perspective will change. Perhaps you'll discover that dependence truly is the promised land, and that a life of dependence is a life of unending grace. Wow, that's a beautiful statement. This lady is totally crippled now, and she's still young. So that was really something. I wanted to share that with you. Well, we see here in the Bible, I just want to move some notes over here. We see in the Bible in verse 11 and 12. Why don't we just read that in Luke 17 and 11 and 12 one more time here? 11 and 12. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Now, these were untraveled streets, ways, places that usually the Jews didn't go through. Samaria, absolutely not. Galilee, same thing. And so Jesus passes through them. He's on his way to Jerusalem now. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. We see in the scriptures that there's a couple times that Jesus healed lepers, and more than what we're reading even here in Matthew 11:5, Luke 7:22, during his ministry. But two were reported in detail. This one, and where he healed one person in another area. While the sickness, again, we can see here that in verse 12, they were lepers which stood afar off. So that's extremely important. There were nine Jews, and verse 16 tells us there was one Samaritan. So a total of 10. And normally, when you look at these people, the Samaritans, vice versa, the Jews had nothing to do with Samaritans, but this sickness brought them together. And so it's incredible the outcome here of this year when we're on a title of Thanksgiving for sure, but we see the disease anyways. They were lepers. I have a little illustration here written about that. Leprosy is akin to what is today called Hansen's disease. It was the most dreaded disease in Bible times, for there was no known cure for it. It would disfigure and destroy the body. Deformity of hands and feet and ears and nose and lips occurred in its later stages. It was generally believed that only God could heal leprosy. So when Christ healed the leper, it gave evidence of his deity that he was God. But leprosy is incredible. When I was in Vietnam, we were to fly in by choppers and take over a village that had lepers in it, where we were told that the enemy was. And I still have to laugh about some of those things. My fear was not getting shot or killed or any of that nonsense. My fear was, we're going to get leprosy ourselves. What good is that? And so somehow or another, that got changed and we didn't go. They said to us, and the Marine Corps tried to convince us, the lieutenant and all them, that this type of leprosy isn't contagious. Yeah. And so I didn't believe that anymore, and the man in the moon. And I said, yeah, that's true, contagious to me, you see. And I said, I can't fight if I don't have hands and feet. And so I never forgot that. But I never knew back then that there were lepers out there. But Vietnam had a whole village of them someplace in the jungle. And so someone else probably tackled that group, but we didn't end up going there. But I kind of laughed at myself when I thought about it, some of the places I've seen. The despair, I see the separation here in verse 12. If you look, it says they stood afar off. What a sad thing that leprosy broke up families completely. Husband got it, separated. Go. They stood afar off. They couldn't come near people. They had no one but themselves. And so it was a hard thing. We saw some of that with this bio warfare weapon here and everything during the COVID time. And I'm not afraid to call it a bio weapon. The whole thing was. So we saw that there were husbands died in the hospital and their wives weren't allowed to be with them. And children died and their parents were not be able to be with them. The hospitals wouldn't let you in. They'd call the security on you. Never forget. Your freedoms were infringed that day. The separation, it breaks up families. You know what else does? Sin. So we see disease, despair. We see the passion of the plea, and they lifted up their voices. Someone wrote this, "The voice of a leper is often weakened by their disease." Thus, it took great effort to cry out to Christ, "Lord, have mercy on us." And they all lifted their voices. So we see the passion in the plea, the desperation in their voices, and they were extra loud because they stood a distance off. I wrote down here not only the passion in the plea, but the person in the plea, Jesus, Master, that's who they're going to have mercy on us. I want you to notice something. They didn't call for a saint. Dead saint on top of that. They didn't call for any saints, didn't call for a pope, didn't call for anyone. There's only one person you can call to when you're in danger, and that is the Father through Jesus Christ, his Son. And the Holy Spirit is with you as a Christian, walking with you. That's the only one. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me," Jesus said in John 14, 6. He's the only one that can help us today. He's the only one that can help this world. Trump is not the Savior. I voted for him, and I almost did. And the reason being, I wasn't going to vote at all, because I wondered, is it okay to vote still for evil if you're a Christian? Well, he's less evil, still evil. He may save the country, God may use him, but this country is in sad shape, no matter how you look at it. So the person in the plea was Jesus. And I want you to notice the praise in this plea here. They call the Master. God honors those who honor him. So that's so important. Sometimes you ever get upset with them? You ever get upset with God? If you haven't, you may. And I guarantee before your life is over, you probably will. Because his ways are never our ways. His thoughts are definitely not my thoughts. And so how important it is to praise him. We see the praise and the plea. I got my notes here. The pity and the plea. Have mercy on us. I want you to note something here in this too, that these lepers here, they didn't claim any merit. They didn't claim any rights. You owe it to us, God. You owe me to be perfect. It isn't my fault I got this way. They just cried out to him, "Jesus, help me." I don't know about you, but most of my life, any problems I ever had, I caused myself. And God in his mercy will bail you out. Just may take a little learning to get there. So the compassion of Christ, I like this in verse 14. Read that with me, if you please. And let's see, I got 14 here. Wait a second. Be helpful if I was on the right chapter right now. And when he saw them, he said unto them, I want you to note the compassion of Christ here. When he saw them, he said, and I put a little note here next to it that Jesus sees us always when we cry out for mercy. And so he gives them a command, go and show yourselves to the priest. Remember, they're still under the Mosaic law here. And in order to be able to associate with any people, they have to be investigated by the priest to make sure that they are perfectly clean. So you know that when these lepers went, how did you get healed? Jesus, those priests are going to scan every fraction of their body to make sure they are healed because they hate Jesus. Not the people that got healed, but Jesus himself. And they got healed along the way. I put a little note here too. Blessing came because of obedience. Sometimes we get so stressed out and we're looking to Jesus to strengthen us. And it's normal. But notice this, that they went and obeyed. How is this going to help us? They probably said to each other. I don't know, Joe. Well, what about you? And the Samaritan was tagging along, and all of a sudden they looked and they were completely whole. And so it's a beautiful thing here. In verse 15, we see the promptness of the praise. Let's just read verse 15 here. Luke 17, verse 15. This is going to be the shortest message you folks ever saw me do here. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back. I love this. And with a loud voice, glorified God. He turned back when he saw he was healed. And with a voice that was loud. I like the way it put that emphasis in God's word. A loud voice, because this leper probably couldn't scream or have a loud voice at all, maybe for years. And so he turned back, and with a loud voice, he glorified God in verse 16 and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. There you go, June. Are you happy now? I just want you to know, thanks, thanks, thanksgiving. See? It's so important. She is right, you know. And you know what blessed my heart the other night when I talked with her? I have to tell you. I said, June, does it help when I give it to you on a Tuesday instead of, let's say, whatever day she normally gets? I don't know. And so she says, so much so, because I want to be the best I can be for our Lord. That's what she said. And I thought, you know something? I'm loving her more than even I did the other day. That's a blessing, though, when you hear that. I want to do the best I can for the Lord. And so this guy here in verse 16 fell down at it on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And watch this. And he was a Samaritan. God lets us know that. The ones who should have known and been thankful never returned. But the Samaritan did. And so watch what Jesus said. He gives him praise and everything. He's a stranger here, that's for sure. And Jesus answering said, this is so important now. Were there not 10 cleansed? Watch this. But where are the 9? You know what that showed me when I was working on this message? That God cares when we offer thanks to him. He cares when he does something for us and we thank him, or when we don't thank him. And sometimes he'll do something for us after a prayer of 6 months ago, and we say, wow, it happened. And that's it. We go on our way. But we forget that it was God that answered that prayer 6 months later. Whether we know it or not, he's pretty busy up there. He's got a lot of people to deal with. And when he's got to deal with some of these people, like myself or Wink or Clarkie or anybody else, when he's got to deal, even Tom. Tom's always late. When he's got to deal with these people, it's scary, you know. Satan sent a bee to torture us. I just saw him fly by too. I hope that no one gets sung. I want you to notice the promptness of his praise. He turned right back. He knew that Jesus healed them. So we can see here, anyways, in the times of stress and times of things, even if it's been a long time, that in regards to these 10 lepers, the blessing came because of their obedience. So it's important to obey what God has for us. He was a Samaritan, verse 16. Verse 17, I want you to note this again. Where are the nine? Jesus asked, verse 17. Were there not 10 cleansed? See, it's all a repeat. But where are the nine? Where are they? Make sure you have a thankful heart, giving thanks in all things, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Sometimes we forget. God knows that. Sometimes it takes them a long time to answer a prayer. God knows that too. But I'm sure that every single one of you here today has some sort of blessing you can thank God for. I'm blessed just by you being here. I'm blessed that God would even have me do this. But God notices the thanks. That's crucial here. Where are the nine? And I wrote a little note here. I could tell by Jesus' voice that there was great disappointment in it. Only one return. And so 19, watch this. This is awesome here. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way. And then he says something else in my King James Bible. Thy faith has made thee whole. This guy not only got healed, he got saved because he turned to the Lord God. And he not only healed him physically, but he healed him spiritually. Thy faith, and by the way, that faith was through God, has made thee whole. You ever hear that? You ever hear that? The saying a lot of people out there in Christian land or whatever it is. You have enough faith, you don't have enough faith, blah, 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 and everything. And we hear that stuff. You have enough faith. Yeah, you don't have enough faith. Sorry, God ain't gonna hear you. And so forget it all. Listen, if you're praying to God, he gave you that faith to pray. If you, because you're praying to him. Any gift you have, I don't care if it's cooking, shining shoes, or whatever here, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says, the Holy Spirit measures out the faith you need to exercise that gift. He does. He does. So God saved this guy because he went one step further and praised the Lord for his healing. Boy, that's incredible. Thy faith has made thee whole. So, with the loud voice, we see number one, the passion and the praise. He called out to God and with a loud voice. And I love that. God makes it. We see the prostration. He fell down in his face at Christ's feet, giving him thanks. He knew who healed him. You see, the product of his obedience, the leper was healed in verse 15, the product of his praise and thanksgiving, the man was saved on top of that. And so let me just look and see if I got any more notes. I don't want to leave nothing blank here. Boy, I'll tell you, you're going to love me today, people. I hope there's a lot of food down there, Judy, or whoever prepared it, as we have more time to eat it now. Let me just say this, and I'll close with this, that, and I've got a little something here when they went to the priest, but I don't really have to give it as an illustration. I got something I could give you, though. But today, you may feel like that leopard. You may have to have something done, and you're looking for a healing, or you're looking for something, and you prayed to God about it, and you prayed to God, and it doesn't seem like he hears. He hears everything. Everything. He doesn't miss a trick. So I want you to be afraid. You may feel scared. You may feel like an outcast. You may feel something. No. God wants you to know you could come to him and he's going to hear it. You count on him. I don't know why I wrote this in my note, but I did. Maybe it was for, why would I do that? I think it was for the gentleman that sits in that chair there in the back row, where I was going to tell him, oh, do I speak to individuals when I'm pre? Yes, I do. And I was just going to say to him, I don't know who you are or where you're at, but Jesus does. I hope you'll receive him as your savior. That's what I was going to say to him. But he didn't show up. But I'll bet he's listening to the tape. I hope he's asked Christ in his life. I hope all of you have. And most of you, I don't have to give you no salvation message. You've already asked Christ in your life to be saved. You don't have to ask him 35 times. And let me see. I'll tell you what. I know what I'll do. I wasn't going to do it, but I will. I'm going to close with a little poem I wrote on October 20th, 1981. How's that? I expect you to applaud when it's done. Let me know that it's probably one of the best poems you've ever heard in your life. And by the way, this is the second best poem. The first one is at home. That's saved for another occasion. And this is, every word is mine before the Lord. I was a brand new Christian in, I would say, June, I'm just guessing, June of 1980. Wasn't long after I met PM and Wing, while after, a little while after, probably. But it was October 20th, 1981. This is one of the two poems that I hung at the shop that I worked at, New Departure, on the main bulletin board so that when folks came in, they could read it. Because I thought they'd be interested. Oh, what a surprise I got. I really thought everybody, God, they hear that message. They'll be saved and that'll be it. What a wonderful time passing tracts out I had there. Got chewed out a couple times, but other than that, it was fine. Listen to this, and I'll save my best one for last. Of course, this one isn't too bad. I won't forget that glorious day. Our father said to me, and if this sounds kind of childish, I was still a child in Christ. I didn't know much of anything. Our father said to me, have you ever known my son who gave his life for thee? His name is Jesus. Yes, I know. You've said it many times. But do you really know him who died for all your crimes? Upon a cross, he paid it all, your guilt, your sins, he bare. Is there not something I could do? I said, if only I were there. With saddened voice, the father said, there's nothing, for you see, 'twas for your sins they nailed him to that cross on Calvary. I cried, oh God, forgive me for this terrible thing I've done. I've killed someone you love so dear, I've killed your only son. Just then I heard another voice softly. He said to me, "It's I who died, but now I live. I've come to set you free." I cried, "O Lord, what must I do? Oh, how can I repay for all the agony you went through for me that darkened day? There's nothing you can do," he said. "Before a brand new start, I've come to ask you just one thing. Let me into your heart." That day I gave my heart to him as tears flowed down my face. And in my heart, he'll always live. He lights the darkened space. No poem is like this one. And now we have a closing hymn.